Mobile technology will be at the forefront of a newly announced IT overhaul at the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. ATF says a move to new platforms like tablet computers will help the agency meet its cybersecurity goals. Melissa Adamson is Vice President for Advanced Technologies at Agilex. David Yang's Vice President at ICF International. My guests on Industry Chatter today to talk about the state of mobile in government. They are industry co-chairs of the ACT-IAC Advanced Mobility Working Group. Friends, it's great to have you here. Thank you both for coming in to talk with me today. I appreciate it. I want to start with the kind of the state overall of mobile in government. Melissa, go to you first. Agencies for a long time looked at mobile like it's the cool thing to do and we want to be mobile. Are we past that now, do you think? And we're looking at mission deployment that happens to include mobile?
I think we are past that. I think really agencies are focusing on getting information to users, and mobility has really been seen as a catalyst for that. I think in the beginning, people wanted to get email on their mobile devices and be able to check email anytime, anywhere. And now the expectation has changed, and it's, I want my mission execution information on my mobile device, whether it's my phone or my tablet, so I can do my job real time and I can receive the information I need at a moment's notice.
We've heard a lot about mobile first as a content philosophy. Are we starting to see that as a technology philosophy too, where agencies are, when they're transitioning or refreshing inventory or whatever, are thinking, how do we incorporate, give our employees mobile computing power?
Absolutely. I think employees expect it. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not just government employees, they're consumers. And their expectations around mobility are just as fast and changing as Apple is releasing new iPhones. Mm-hmm. And so I think in the majority of procurements we've seen, it's an absolute consideration around the technology and the functionality of having a mobile component to any mission system.
David, thank you for coming in too. This is the kind of the conundrum for people for a long time in government about the mobile the transition, is that it's kind of the first big technology transition that's been driven from the bottom up instead of from the top down, instead of somebody at the agency saying, here's new technology you're going to have to learn. It was the rank and file employees coming in and saying, I want to be able to use my tablet or whatever, or a similar kind of technology. What has the implication for that been in how agencies figure out how they're going to move forward?
So oftentimes that transition, as you mentioned, technology is just one component. Mm-hmm. Honestly, in the experience that I've had with agencies trying to meet that demand, the challenges come mostly in the non-technical side, policies, privacy, legal, security, guidelines for use, reimbursement for BYOD. So oftentimes acquisition, those are still the challenges that agencies are facing when trying to go to a mobile first environment.
You used the term there that we heard a lot for a while, and now I haven't heard it so much lately, and that's BYOD. Yeah. Is that still on the landscape? I mean, are people still thinking and talking about that? Melissa, you're nodding your head in agreement with that. But David, are people still, is that still a thing?
It's interesting that you say that. I think it isn't and isn't. It's still there in concept, yet in practice, it's less ideal than people think. It's oftentimes even more expensive than just furnishing devices, you know, through the corporation. So definitely a mixed bag. But yeah, BYOD isn't as sort of a buzzword as it used to be.
I think for some organizations, they really look to try and embrace that because of budget costs, mm-hmm. and how much it's costing them to furnish the devices and then pay for the data plans. So I think it's still alive in some areas. But as David said, there's significant policy challenges. And when it comes to security, I don't think they've met the bill yet on how to manage your government data on your personal device.
And I imagine there are still a whole bunch of data experts in the government that are just not quite sure that they want to be feeding their data to somebody's phone or tablet or whatever that they don't absolutely have locked down and own, right?
Yes, absolutely. We actually hosted a jam session for the Advanced Mobility Working Group yesterday, and this was a hot topic where we had several federal agencies talking about the challenges of trying to meet BYOD needs, and also the fact that they really wanted to try and employ that model because of costs.
What's a jam? At least in the context of the Advanced Mobility Working Group, because I don't anticipate a lot of people there with guitars or anything.
No guitars. Occasionally people sing. No. We bring together industry and government on a certain topic, mm-hmm. and we spend about an hour and a half where we just jam on what are people's best practices, what have their experiences been on managing commercial applications, on government-issued devices, on BYOD, on CAC integration with mobile devices, and we document it and we provide best practices and lessons learned out to the greater community, the federal community.
You said one there that I love, CAC integration on mobile devices. What is that? I'm still thinking about my colleague Jared. Wow, I imagine. My colleague Jared Serba reported a while back on the whole concept of dongles that you have to add on to the devices, and they're as big as the devices in some cases, and it's a really difficult process. Is that progressed at all, or are we still kind of in
the
same spot?
There are some solutions out there where we've seen like a virtual smart card solution with with a soft token. I think that is the direction that they are going, but the requirement for that, the credential authentication, is still there in places like DOD.
But there's the challenge. You say that's the direction that they're going, and that's great, and I don't mean to disparage that's the direction they're going. That's not what I'm implying. But David, by the time they get to the ability policy-wise to be able to execute that, there could be a whole nother technology that would work much better. And it kind of goes back to what you were saying a moment ago about the policy, what the non-technical stuff on BYOD. By the time we can get these policies in place, the policy may be entirely overcome by events. Are you guys looking in the Advanced Mobility Working Group at ways to get beyond that, so that these agencies can kind of get ahead of this curve?
So I think one thing that was brought up in our last jam session was the onus has come from not protecting the device anymore, but looking at the data.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at the data, I think you can shorten that time frame of securing information. If you're not focused on the ever-changing device landscape and not just focus on where the data lives and where it resides and how you get it and how it's sort of recorded and sort of then deleted when you don't need it, mm-hmm. that's a much quicker turn, I think, than focusing on the phones themselves.
What's the reception like to that so far? I know some agencies have been doing that for a while, but I imagine there are some folks that still like the idea of making sure that the hardware is locked too.
I think we're seeing that's, for the most part, been proven out to be just foolish. Like, you'll never catch up.
Mm-hmm.
The minute you lock down one phone and one flavor and operating system, it changes mm-hmm. and it moves out. So,
and I think the challenge is securing that data. Mm-hmm. I don't think there has come one tried and true solution on the marketplace that is absolutely answers the bill for everybody out there.
The point that you just made, David, hits home with me because I accidentally updated my Google Nexus 7 to Lollipop last night, and it's awful. It's horrible. I was reading on the internet today about all the people that are trying to roll back and can't do it. And one of the main reasons is because a number of the apps have essentially been kicked off the devices.
Yeah.
And I'm imagining that happening with somebody at an agency where some upgrade gets pushed and people do it and because it seems like the right thing to do, and all of a sudden your security settings or something are void and people's heads just exploding at agencies all across the government. Is that the kind of thing that you're talking about?
Actually, our first jam session was how do you manage commercial apps on government devices?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the number one problem, meaning I just bought this app. It came on a certified device with a certified OS. Oh my God, they just released an update. Now my app is out of date, right? I still want to play this game on my phone. How do I get the latest and greatest and still be compliant?
Mm-hmm. So, the compliance mentality is something that folks are trying to get out of on the enterprise-wide area. Is that still a kind of a thing in mobility within the MDM environment, or is that something that we're seeing people trying to move away from?
I think for organizations that are issuing devices and putting applications, custom applications on them, MDM and compliance is absolutely still at the forefront
mm-hmm.
because they have to be able to manage the phones, manage what's on the phones, know where the phones are, wipe the phones or the tablets if there is a security breach.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see that going away.
The idea of securing the data then gives you kind of a different mindset, a different perspective in how you're going to do this. And I wonder how that changes, if at all, the kinds of decisions that you're seeing agencies making about what their inventories look like, about how fast they want to refresh, any of those kinds of things. Any thoughts? David, what do you think about that?
It's interesting you brought that up. So an agency came to our last jam session and offered a solution on where if you focus just on the security of the data and left the other components of mobility, like the devices, the data plans to the carriers, then the government would instantly be out of that business and just have to worry about paying, you know, a carrier a per month fee to make sure all that's locked down. So I think, again, if you focus more on the data, it decreases costs, increases security, and
that idea was coming from an agency.
An agency
person?
Themselves was bringing it up. So again, the jam session was the brainchild of, or actually the ask of our government counterparts, who said, you know, we're beyond the talking phase. We'd like to get down to tactical issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the jam session was, well, let's have a safe environment where government and industry can get together, share ideas, non-attributional, non-selling. And then really just share best practices.
Let's, David, you used that term getting out of the business in respect to somebody who came into one of your sessions and talked about how you get out of the business. Describe that again, what that was about, so we can move forward with that concept.
Sure. So this agency that came to our last jam session basically was trying to accommodate BYOD, and they had a great quote, which was, mobility is a privilege, not a right, mm-hmm. to our workforce. So if you want to bring your own device, then this agency is not going to be in the business anymore of, you know, bending over backwards to make sure they've got the right security package and everything else. It's going to be the cheapest way possible through existing contracts with the carriers, putting most of the burden of, again, securing that device onto them,
mm-hmm.
and then having you as a user be responsible for, you know, your own data.
And the getting out of that business, that the reason that resonates with me is because that sounds like the same argument that both cloud proponents in government and cloud providers make to executives in government. You can get out of the business of maintaining servers and infrastructure and all of that stuff and kind of elevate your game to a more strategic rather than a tactical level. Is that a byproduct maybe of what you're seeing there with BYOD, if this agency is able to pull this off as you described?
Yeah, to your point, I think that the idea of mobility as a service is moving closer to the cloud model, which is, it truly is, you're not in that business anymore. It's as a service, and all those costs are being managed by somebody else.
Melissa, are you seeing agencies asking for that as part of the deal, or is that just something that they haven't gotten to yet? They're still focused on the logistics and mechanics and the benefits of the mobility in and of itself.
I think it depends on what kind of mission you're trying to execute. I think in some cases, you won't be able to do that if mm-hmm. you're serving up healthcare data onto a device in a specific environment or a hospital. We are also seeing vendors out there that provide the infrastructure as a service. And I do see, for especially smaller agencies, that's a lot more attractive. But for larger agencies, maybe with law enforcement missions, with things that go from unclassified to classified, you still see them wanting to control the entire process end-to-end, owning the phone, issuing the phone, securing the data, versus you own the phone, you bring it in, and I provide you with a secure container mm-hmm. to put your data in so I can do a BYOD model.
Do you see a day where the BYOD model or something like it, maybe something we haven't thought of yet, kind of supplants the idea of owning it end-to-end, all the infrastructure and all of that? Or is there some other configuration that we haven't thought of yet or don't talk about a lot yet, at least, that you see on the horizon?
I think what we see on the horizon is all about getting all the information to the user. And it might be a phone today or a tablet. Tomorrow it could be your watch. It could be a pair of glasses. So I think, you know, we will eventually transcend that. More and more, you know, we're seeing federal organizations building out systems with the mobility of information in mind, not just mobile devices.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I wanted to go next, David, because I recall all three of us were at ELC this year down in Williamsburg. And somebody, I don't remember who it was, but somebody on one of the panels actually went on stage with Google Glasses on. Mm-hmm. I don't remember who that was, but that's the next big thing that seems to be on the horizon is wearables. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. In fact, in our first session around managing commercial apps and the security threats that come from that, they did bring up wearables as the next on the horizon for the next threat for security, right? Mm-hmm. You're not just the glasses, but now the watches, right? Now you've got apps talking from a watch to a phone to your glasses. There's a lot of vulnerabilities there that can be exploited. So that is something they're looking at.
Next. And we talked about the way that this has come from the users. And it's not just the users in government. I imagine that agencies, for example, healthcare that provide healthcare or collect healthcare data will have citizens, customers, that want to be able to provide information through Fitbits and stuff like that. And so that starts to then get us into the Internet of Everything discussion, I imagine. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Especially in healthcare, we're definitely seeing the integration of Bluetooth, blood pressure cuffs, and scales integrating with healthcare applications to provide an accurate and comprehensive healthcare record for both the patient and the caregiver who's taking care of them. So, and I think we'll just continue to see more of that as that technology becomes accessible. I think many of the wearables, maybe not a Fitbit, but glasses and watches, they're still kind of in their early phase. And as they mature, I think users will absolutely expect to receive that data through those means.
Will there be different security implications for devices like that that maybe provide only a certain type of information or provide it in a certain format? Or I don't know, understand enough about what's under the hood on stuff like that to even know. But it strikes me that some of these I know only push information. They don't pull any data. Does that make a difference as far as how somebody's going to need to try to at least consider security for that device? Either.
So it's interesting you bring that up. At our last jam session, again, some of the industry folks and the government together were saying at some point security defeats the usability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do you buy these devices in the first place? Because you have quick access to information in a way that's convenient to you. For example, if you're a law enforcement agent and you've got data coming from two phones, it's probably easier to have it on a watch than trying to grab through two phones and to get to your weapon or something. So their whole point was, you know, we need to balance that, you know, the need for security with at some point you got to make these things, you know, serve out their original intent.
Mm-hmm. And that's the usability question that has dogged the whole usability versus security. I wonder if that's still the case, if that's how people are still looking at this, usability being kind of the opposite of security, or if we're starting to see those two paths merge where you can combine them together.
I think they're beginning to merge, and that people realize if you give somebody a bricked phone or with so many things on it that it burns out the battery in the first 10 minutes, why did you pay to give them the phone in
the
first place?
What's the point of
that? You know, we're seeing, like, most recently, a very large law enforcement organization pushed out a large number of mobile devices to their end users and for information needs without bricking the phone completely. So I think it's slowly starting to come together.
Is technology driving that? Better security applications? What's the combination that's making that possible?
I think more advancements in technology, more solutions, more advancements to the operating systems that are being pushed out, I think are definitely helping with that.
So how often do you do these jams and how do you decide what topics you're going to cover?
So the jam sessions don't have a set schedule. We're trying to do about maybe two a quarter, and the topics are driven both from our industry and government you know, participants. The government set the first two, which was managing commercial apps, and then the CAC and PIV accreditation. I think some of the industry folks want to focus on other things sector-specific, like mobile health, right, for the next one.
We always ask what's the hottest topic, and then we work to get the right people at the table who can actually either have experience on that topic from industry or government perspective. And we go back to the members of the Advanced Mobility Working Group. There's about 50 between government and industry, and ask them to nominate different topics.
Are they always listed on the ACT-IAC website?
They should be listed under the Advanced Mobility Working Group. When we have a jam session, we usually post it out there, and we'll post out the notes from the last session.
Wonderful. We'll put the link to that on federalnewsradio.com along with this interview later this afternoon. Thank you very much for coming in, both of you. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you.